News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
What is going on? Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 807. Oh, looky there. It's going to be hot today. Dr. Bill said we hit 98 and 97 over the weekend. And we did get those thunderstorms that kind of, for a while, took care of some spots, but just in isolated areas.
Yeah, no, and Saturday was the day I was out in the yard, you know, cleaning up, working on things, and it just so happened I got, thank you, God, a few hours of cloud coverage. And I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah,
Didn't feel nearly as, it actually felt good compared to the rest of the summer, but that heat is definitely out there, and we may be picking up a little more rain from some afternoon summer storms later this week, and of course, football begins this week, too. A lot of high school games set for, well, most of them Friday night. We get one Thursday night and then one on Saturday with St. Michael Catholic being on the big channel. I think they're on ESPN or ESPN2 for their big game against, was it Battleground Academy, I think, or some big team out of Tennessee.
Okay, so okay. That'll be good.
Should be a good one this weekend. Had a lot of discussions last week about, football and the Mobile County Public School System as well. And in to talk with us this morning is Johnny Hatcher, member of the Mobile County School Board, to discuss some allegations made last week by the mayor of Sims, Brandon Van Hook. There was on Wednesday a personnel hearing out at the central office for the school. Is that where it was?
Sure. It was a central office, but it was Tuesday.
Tuesday.
So was that the Zach Golson when Zach was trying to plead his case to remain on staff at MGM?
At MGM. He's still an employee. There's a lot of misleading information that he's fired. He's not fired. He still works for Mobile County Public School System. He's just not going to be at MGM.
He was relieved of his duties as head football coach because of recruiting allegations, I guess you would say, or charges or something to do with that.
At this point, we'd have to say they were violations because it came
violations.
Down.
Okay.
It came down from the Alabama High School Athletic Association.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't have anything to do with that. It had nothing to do with us. They come in, they do their – it's independent. I will say that when we did have our meeting, some of that come up, and Mayor Van Hook said that one of the perks that he had given the coach out there, Zach, was a truck to use for recruiting. Yes, sir. I was waiting for, you know, and then Zach come up and he spoke, and I was waiting for him to clear that record, and he never did. He never said it wasn't for it, and so it's kind of it's a bad situation.
Yeah. So let's get into the other part, and I wanted to get back to that the Golson situation if we have time this morning. Obviously, that's a big story on its own. But the mayor of Sims, and he was actually on midday on Wednesday last week with Sean Sullivan for an hour. This never came up during Sean's show. The report started showing up later, but he's got some pretty serious allegations and said he filed a police report from that meeting on Tuesday. You provided us police report.
Yes, sir.
You believe puts you in the clear. The video described in the report, it contradicts some important parts of Mayor Van Hook's account. The officer's saying they can't verify what actually happened inside the private room. So why don't we kind of start there and what you can tell us what happened on Tuesday morning?
Well, and you know, when all this happened, we found out about it. The first thing I did was, you know, went and got an attorney, a lifelong friend, Dennis Nisley. And Dennis has asked me not to speak on this. So I can't really speak a whole lot on it, but I can tell you is that these allegations are unfounded. This is nothing more than just to defame and discredit me in the public eye.
So, good. You guys, it was a meeting. Was the entire school board there? And it was all about this personnel situation.
Yes, it was all. Well, he was there about the Zach Golson deal, and then it came into as we were there in the meeting. Every chance they got, you know, he made sure he took a shot at me at the meeting.
How did he do that?
Well, he said that he knows that one school board member has a disdain for them starting their own school board.
Oh, their own school
Sims
system.
Their own school system.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, just, you know, I was targeted from out the gate. And it evolved into that. Look, I'll be honest with you guys. I don't want to litigate this in the media. I'm above that. I'm not going to get into the gutter. I just didn't want to tell you I was going to come on here and then not come.
Sure.
I feel bad that I can't speak about it, but I've been asked not to by advice of counsel. And I'll be honest with you. It's hard not to talk about this.
Sure.
It really is hard.
Because the allegations he made, I mean, it didn't, according to his allegations, rise to actual violence, but he seems to think it came pretty close and alleged that you called him some mean words. What was it? He said a fat ass or another person's claiming you said, and I think this was the witness, Jennifer Chapel, who said you called him a fat MF. Can you comment on that at all or no?
I can just tell you that the video evidence shows quite the opposite of what they're stating.
Is there any – so the video evidence –
and there's also – there's eyewitnesses to the account as well, that one of them being an officer of the court that heard what was said, and I assure you all of this will come out and come to light. Again, I don't want to litigate this in the media. I think this is very – honestly, in the very beginning I thought it was very petty, but now he's escalated it to this and it's, you know, it's probably going to escalate even further.
So there is video and the police, they reference that video.
That I feel vindicates me.
Do you think that should be put out to the public?
Well,
video in that room but there were allegations that things were done where there was video, in that hallway, right?
Yeah, well, I think the mayor had also alleged that he took video in the room as well, and if he has it, he needs to go ahead and provide it as well.
So you guys, you broke off to a different room that was under your invite, or you guys agreed you had something to settle.
It was mutual.
So
yes,
you go into another room, and at that point, I guess you don't want to talk about what happened?
Well, I'm on advice from counsel. I just can't. I really do want to talk about it. You have no idea. I really want to talk about it, but you pay that guy a lot of money. He's not cheap.
We'll let this, let the courts work it out. It sounds like what you want to see happen here, but there's been, and we see this often with so many local stories where allegations are put out or something becomes known. Let's say with the broadcasting of that game on Friday night that was adjusted. But when the full story isn't put out there, people online, namely Facebook,
yes,
but I'm sure it goes on TikTok and Instagram as well, but they come up with their own narratives and theories.
Yeah, they're litigating it one way or the other. Already on top of it.
And what I've seen, and I haven't been just living on Facebook, but from what I've seen in a lot of these, you have some people who are saying that Johnny Hatcher's been a hothead his entire life, and he's a hothead and this and that. You've got a lot of people, though, that have been defending you, too, and saying that.
I've not been a saint. There's no secret that I, was a rough guy back in the day, but there's no evidence of me doing that in many years. I don't have any interest in it. I'm not that guy to go out there and do the things that have been alleged by the mayor. I think at the end of the day, the truth come out.
Where does this go from here, Johnny?
I've spent a lot of money right now,
mm-hmm,
so it's going somewhere. I've got to get my monies back. Mm-hmm. I've done nothing to deserve this at all. This is reprehensible behavior on his part, not mine. To be quite frank, again, I'm not the one that brought it to the media. When I was called and contacted, it was I was called and asked, did I file a police report by the Lanyap? And I said, no, sir, I have not. And I said, nor would I. I have no reason to file a police report.
Hmm.
I'm just not that petty. I'm just not going to do that. And he said, would you like to comment about anything that happened? I said, well, we had a spirited debate, but other than that, no, there's nothing to talk about. So as the things went on, probably about 15, 20 minutes later, I get a call back, and it's the same reporter. And he says, look, he says, I was wrong. He says, it wasn't you. It was Mayor Van Hook, and he has...
filed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he confirmed that he has done these things. And I says, well, I don't have anything to say other than, what I did state, and that's that I denied ever threatening him.
I still
deny that.
You get the phone call on Wednesday or Thursday?
I got that on Wednesday evening.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds about when those reports started coming out. So regarding this, the school system, the Sims school system, and that seems to be kind of what this discussion was about.
Well, they've let me talk about that a little bit. They have been mad at us because they wanted us to take a park from some people out there that have been running that park for quite some time, and I guess they had issue with them, and they wanted control of the park.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we were told by the individuals that they, you know, the mayor and them were actually bullying them and telling them that they were going to take the park from, stuff like that. Well, he don't have that authority. He can't take anything.
Isn't that a county park?
No, sir. It's owned by Mobile County Public Schools.
Okay.
So we went ahead and, the mayor wanted us to give him a lease and everything. We did not. We chose to stick with the people we'd been dealing with. He was upset about it and has been talking about breaking away, starting his own system for quite some time. Every little thing they can do to try to make us look bad, they do, and it's just not again, it's not the kind of behavior that I would think someone should be exhibiting in a place of power like that. But that, you know what? Hey, that's my opinion.
And what do you think? Because that's been maybe the number one overriding comment is you have a mayor of a municipality here. You have a member of the school board for the largest school system in the entire state. Why are they at each other's necks anyway? People feel that maybe elected officials at that level shouldn't be getting into it like this.
I will say this. I have made some comments on social media as well that have probably antagonized him with, you know, a remark about the public's not getting an invite. And it wasn't a fact. It was just kind of, you know, Doug Harwell was a sitting board member at the time. Doug Harwell come to me about that property. That's when I first got on the board. So one of the first votes I made was to go ahead and let him have the property. Didn't want to do it, but Doug convinced me to do it. And then, you know, when it comes time for the grand opening and everything, they never even so much as asked Doug to be there. And I took it a little bit personal. I made some comments about it. Maybe I shouldn't have. I think that was petty on my part to do that, to be fair. And then there was an incident where the guy had been shot multiple times and was delayed medical attention for quite some time.
At the park?
No, this sir. It was at the
Johnny's RV?
Bowman.
Mr.
Bowman out there on his property.
Uh-huh.
And I think the attorney got on there and he made a comment. He says it's ironic that had he not been violating the city ordinance, it would have never happened. And I'm like, you know, come on, man. So I fired back. You know, I probably shouldn't have, but I fired back and said, so I guess myself and other citizens of Sims should expect if we violate the ordinance, we'll get shot multiple times and denied medical care. And it rubbed them wrong, and I get it. And I got a response back from Todd Friend, and we bantered back a little bit there. And he was very mean-spirited in his remarks and later deleted them.
How serious is this idea? It's only an idea right now of Sims schools becoming their own school system and breaking off totally like a Saraland.
Which would include MGM, which is what we've been discussing so much.
First of all, I don't think they can afford it. I think that's been stated already. They're notorious for putting the cart ahead of the horse. Let's be honest. They've got a police department, no jail. I mean, you know, if they want to do anything, hey, start a charter school. Start off small. Get your feet wet. See what you can do. Show the people out there that you're serious, that you really want to do this. Get out there and do it. There's ways to do this. But us to give them our assets or sell them to them at a very reduced cost where they could afford it is not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. We're not going to do that. Yeah, we do a good job. Let me tell you, we right now have come up, and we're projected to outpace Baldwin County this year in the report card.
Wow.
Now, I'm not going to say we are, but it's going to be very close. I think that's strong. That's strong coffee. We're doing a good job. And, you know, if they want to break away, I don't really think they understand a whole lot about the education side of it. It's a little tougher than what most know. include myself. Y'all remember when I come in here and said, oh, you know, it should be easy to do these things. It's not that easy. There's a lot of laws and a lot of red tape that hinder a lot of these things.
Yeah, yeah. If there wasn't, they'd be done more often.
Well, that's true. And I can tell you this, we are building a new school.
In that area?
West Mobile.
Okay.
It's going to be a high school, and we're also building the Career Tech Center. The Career Tech Center is under design. The architect has it, and I think we're bidding out maybe this month or next month the architect for the high school.
So another high school.
We're making headways. Everything I promised we're doing. Look, I don't have cameras in every classroom, but I got cameras in some of the classrooms. We have law enforcement professionals. That's one of the things I said I do. I'm moving in the right direction. I'm doing a good job. You know, whether you know people like it or not. But this has nothing to do with the job that I'm doing or any of my colleagues on the board. This has to do with the fact that we're not being bullied. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to allow anybody to bully me. I'm just not going to do it.
I'm going to hit a quick break. I have a few more questions for you, Johnny, if you can stick around with us here just this next segment. Johnny Hatcher, member of the Mobile County Public School Board, on with us this morning on a Monday morning right here on Mobile Mornings. And we'll come back right after this quick news break. 251-343-0106 if you want to jump on the text line. Quick traffic update. Cheese Wagon says, left lane now open at I-10 eastbound in McDonald after a terrible accident earlier. That left lane open. Movement now, and more Mobile Mornings on the way.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
827, and as far as traffic, and Johnny and Dan both made great points as we wrapped up that last segment. That I-10 accident, I believe westbound at McDonald. I think we said eastbound.
I think originally it was westbound. Maybe eastbound was affected by it all, but the original report heading toward Mississippi.
So one lane open now there after what may have been a fatal accident. That's the reports we were getting earlier, so we'll keep you updated on that throughout the rest of Mobile Mornings. In with us right now, Johnny Hatcher, member of the Mobile County Public School Board, and discussing what went down or didn't go down at that meeting last week on Tuesday. And Johnny, you talked about some of the stuff you've said on social media over the years. You know, you come in here and talk all the time. We always appreciate it. But I think it's fair to say you're outspoken on a lot of the issues that deal with schools you post about, which, of course, makes sense.
Well, I don't hide from it.
No,
I've never hid from you guys on anything. And right now, if it wasn't advice from the attorney due to the situation that Van Hook has put me in, mm-hmm. I would definitely be talking more about this.
That's the mayor of Sims you're referencing there, Brandon Van Hook. But what are your, let's call them constituents, even when you're speaking about things that maybe aren't school board related, when you are outspoken, what do your constituents think of that? I'm sure some of them like it, some of them don't.
You know, if you can't please everybody, you're going to have some people out there that's not going to like it. And, you know, of course, that happens, but overall, I mean, the people that have supported me and the very beginning are still supporters of me. I haven't seen anybody come up and say, hey, look, that I knew had voted for me. Mm-hmm. Johnny, look, I just ain't going to be able to support you again. I haven't had any of that. I've had people tell me, man, hey, look, you hang in there. You're doing a good job. We're proud of you.
Yeah, I think it could be an issue to issue, Dalton. I mean, sometimes he's saying something that people approve of, and the same people don't approve of something else.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, because you talk.
Look, nobody's going to agree with everybody. I mean, mm-hmm. Lord, I love my wife, but we don't agree on everything, but I don't mean I'm going to divorce her, you know?
Yeah.
Well, when something like this comes up and it's in the news, do you have that second thought in your head that says, hey, Johnny, maybe I should tone it down a little bit? Or is that something you can't do?
I can. Trust me, I can. Some of that, like I said, when I went ahead, I took it a little personal with the property because Doug really did a lot to help them. Mm-hmm. And it seemed to me like they shunned Doug.
Yep.
And that was something that I could have helped and I shouldn't have done. I took that a little personal. But now with the attorney, I had to do it.
Well, right. Wrap it up, Johnny. Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you for coming in and answering our questions. We'll see how this plays out, the legal situation, and more Mobile Mornings on the way.
Thomason in Washington.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
:35 now on Mobile Mornings on a Monday. And right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good Good morning, guys. How are you?
Man, we are doing just fine as we work our way through August. And it's a good month to get over to McConnell Automotive. Well, it's always a good time to get to McConnell Automotive. You have plenty of inventory right now, but I know plenty of people looking to get the hunting camps ready for this hunting season, and that means trucks. You got some good deals right now.
That's right. We got a lot of stuff going on. Got here this morning, and the service department had them all backed up all the way to Dolphin Street. I said, Lord, have mercy. What's going on here? I think everybody's car.
Bringing them in and getting them fixed.
Service or something, yeah. But we appreciate all that business. But, yeah, we got some great deals going on. We got, remember, 1.9% on half-ton trucks. Got a great selection of pre-owns out front. You check that stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. We're going to be here on beautiful Dolphin Street, so come on by and see us.
Yeah, it's always a good time to get by McConnell Automotive, whether you need to buy a vehicle or get yours fixed. They'll take care of you. And we appreciate your time this morning, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. And they have a great website, too. That's McConnellAutomotive.com.
On the text line, 251-343-0106, many of you reacting to the appearance of Johnny Hatcher this morning, although Johnny really didn't say much at the advice of his attorney.
Pending litigation. I've always wanted to say that.
There you go. You got it in. Michael, also Dan Saraland in Gulf Shores. Complaints are just allegations for now. MGM and Goldson are proven violations of cheating. Yeah, I think I pointed that out to you on Friday, Michael, if you were paying attention to my replies to you, because you were trying to throw Saraland under the bus and saying, look, if you catch him, prosecute him, do whatever you need to do. But otherwise, you're just talking trash about a program that has been very successful. And, you know, if there's enough compliance people out there and enough ways to try and gather information on these schools and students, that if Gulf Shores and Saraland are actually guilty of anything, it should be proven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt.
So it looks like Golson, evidently, they found enough proof on him. Or that's the AHSAA's side of the story.
Yeah.
But I trust them about as far as I can drop kick them anyway.
That is the truth right there. And Killer Bees, and I should note, this is not the comedian Killer Bees, although they can be funny on our text line, but said the players that left MGM because the head coach was relieved for recruiting violations, were they recruited by other schools? Yeah, man, I don't know how many players left MGM, but that's a good question. if their coach was punished and the team punished for recruiting violations, how?
Well,
did
I don't know.
Players,
I don't. Okay, so my guess on that is, like, where did they go?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they went back to the school where they thought they needed to be anyway.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They may have been players where they were flagged, like, hey, wait a minute. You should be going to this school.
And so maybe
not, and they probably returned to that school.
Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
Okay.
Help me out on the text line if you've got more information on that.
And I haven't combed through the roster changes for
MGM. And I'm not going
from last season to this season. No. But this week, so we have high school football starting up, and I mentioned game Thursday night, a lot of games on Friday night, including the debut of UMS Wright football right here on FM Talk 106.5. And these schedules are, for many teams, a little different than anything you've seen previously, because of these new classes, new divisions, separating the private schools from the public schools within AHSAA. We're not talking AISA, which we're already a private school organization that I have to say I was pretty good because I made the AISA All-Stars. But this isn't about me, this segment. This is not about me. Trust
me. Let's make it about you.
So the private schools and public schools separating in the AHSAA, which means there's some interesting, you know, there's no class 7A anymore.
6A is the top of it now.
Yeah, 1 through 6A, and then you have private school A and private school AA for the larger private school classes, which that's a loaded dang region around here, private school AA.
Yeah, it's St. Michael's, McGill, St. Paul's.
UMS. Yeah, but I believe every one of those private school AA teams will make the playoffs, which is kind of interesting, too, when you watch a team fight it out through the regular season. Is it any different knowing that they're going to make the playoffs? But what it also has created are some interesting scheduling, I guess you, some would say opportunities. Some would say they just are trying to fill the schedule with teams outside of their region, which has become more difficult because a lot of these public schools and even some long-standing rivalries just won't be played this year because the public school doesn't feel, or the private school doesn't feel that they need to play that public school. So week one, UMS, they're going to play what I believe is a pretty decent team in Jackson, Mississippi, Jackson Prep. That'll be Friday night, and the debut of UMS Ride Football here on FM Talk 106.5. We'll have pregame beginning with coaches Michael Knapp and Kevin Raley at 6:30 on Friday night, and then kickoff live from Jackson, Mississippi on Friday night at 7, and then we'll keep that rolling throughout the week. We actually have a full UMS Ride page on our website, fmtalk1065.com, that has the schedule and all kinds of other information. But one of the things I mentioned was this weekend you have St. Michael Catholic playing also an out-of-state school, but that's Battleground Academy. And Battleground Academy coming down here. I can't remember if they're from Murfreesboro or Franklin. They're from one of the suburbs of Nashville.
A little money.
As Jared points out, yeah, there's some money in this school because I know we have a bit of a celebrity at quarterback for St. Michael Catholic because his dad is Philip Rivers, who's the head coach.
And Gunner is also considered the best quarterback in Alabama, or one of, for sure.
And he's an NC State commit. Same school his father went to, out of Athens, Alabama, went up to North Carolina State. So looks like Gunner might make that same move. But Jared points out Battleground Academy, the team that's coming down here, Luke Bryan's son
is the quarterback
for them. I don't think he's nearly as highly recruited as Gunner Rivers is, but that creates an interesting matchup. And I believe that'll be on.
Hey, pick up the Mike linebacker. I wonder if he sounds like his dad when he's yelling at the.
Yeah, halfback draw on two margarita. One margarita, two margarita, three. Maybe they call their plays like that. I don't know. But that would be good. So I think they're playing on ESPN2 on Saturday, broadcast.
Is it a daytime or a nighttime?
Yeah, let me look that up really quickly. It's something I should have off the top of my head. I think it's an afternoon.
I would guess it's afternoon.
I think it's an afternoon matchup, maybe at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Let's see. St. Michael Catholic and Battleground Academy, Saturday at 12:30.
Okay, good.
And it'll be on ESPN2 as part of the ESPN High School Football Kickoff.
So, you know, I've been trying to prep for the entire season before the season starts. So this is going to help, which, you know, didn't do me much good in the first game when I
became
an encyclopedia about Saraland, and then suddenly that game's gone. But I'm trying to do a better job of that, and quite frankly, the national TV broadcast of St. Michael will give me a good primer on them.
Yeah.
Let ESPN
do your dirty work.
Exactly. Because we've got St. Michael several times this year. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be a good one. Let's see. Text here on the Johnny Hatcher interview said, Johnny is a good man. I wish we had more men like him running the Mobile County School Board. Damn Yankee says, regardless of the details, something happened that was unprofessional, and that's the problem with education. It is an unprofessional industry. Maximus says, hey, here's an idea. Act like an adult when someone calls you a name, and don't lose your damn mind. Another texter, comments from Johnny Hatcher. This is an unnamed texter. Comments from Johnny Hatcher acting like he knows what's going on. Said he can't even tell you what a teacher makes or what they can and can't buy. This guy is a joke for a school commissioner, and the more he talks, the more he shows his ignorance. And we had Hatcher, Johnny, on, I guess it was last month? I can't recall.
Yeah.
Where he mentioned the money, $1,000 that goes to each teacher in the school system to use to buy supplies. And that came up because I guess some schools were saying there was a fee that parents, grandparents, whatever.
Guardians of the kids
guardians,
have to pay up.
Yeah, that they have to pay, that it was a mandatory fee, which is not legal according to Alabama state law. So Johnny came in to discuss that with us and said, hey, we give them each $1,000 to spend. That created some conversation and people not happy with those comments online saying, well, the teachers don't even get the money until October. I'm not sure where that debate lies now, but take one texter, that unnamed texter, I don't think I finished the text, said this guy's a joke for a school commissioner, and the more he talks, the more he shows his ignorance. Another texter said, is that new West Mobile school in the Baker zone? The entire Baker freshman class is housed in portable classrooms. Disgusting. That's what this texter has to say. I saw those portable classrooms for our earlier this summer had a big dance recital for the girls out there. So it was my first time seeing the Baker portable classrooms up close and in person. They look just like a portable classroom.
I've seen some things out at Baker. Baker was not good for a long time. Everybody knows that around here. Then they became pretty good under Jack French, and they became a team that we had to pay attention to as we put our schedule together and then considered and then put them on TV. Mm. What I was shocked by was when I went out to Baker, and I've been to nearly every coach's office facility, athletic facility, on both sides of the bay, probably for 26 years.
Several times, I would imagine.
Several times, for sure. Now, some have changed and some have upgraded, but Baker's situation at that time might have been 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Deplorable.
Yeah.
For it just... And I remember that at one point, A.J. McCarron was considering, I went to a meeting where he was out there, it's almost like he adopted Baker, even though he played at St. Paul's and was trying to raise money for better athletic
facilities, or just a program,
facilities, not good at all.
Mm.
Now, and the stadium itself, it's older, but it's pretty darn cool, and it seats a lot of people, so... Nothing wrong with the stadium, but the facilities way outdated.
And enrollment was already high.
Yeah.
And so when you keep adding more people to West Mobile, we talk so often about the growth in Baldwin County, but West Mobile has grown a ton.
So what you need to do with Baker, you definitely need to siphon off some of that student enrollment and get them, if you're going to build another school out there, they need relief at Baker, for sure.
Another texter. Okay, so that accident on 10 earlier, that was westbound. I'm sorry, that is eastbound. Eastbound on I-10, where a helicopter life flight has come in. Left lane was open, last we heard there. Eastbound on I-10. Texter said, can you ask why MCPSS decided not to televise this Friday's football game between Saraland and MGM?
May I answer that?
Yes, please.
I wouldn't know. Because I'm on the TV side of it, and I'm really independently employed there. I'm not part of NBC 15, which it's going to be on NBC 15, by the way, not UTV 4. I guess it might be on both. It's a big deal.
Mm.
And apparently, I don't blame the coaching staff if they would rather have not been on. I mean, the buck stops at the Mobile County Public School System. They're the ones... The coaching staff and or students, I guess, if they didn't want to be on, then they were the ones that had to get permission from Mobile County Public Schools, who granted the position for them to permission. They granted it. Like, tell TV to take a hike. Well, why? Why did you do that? It wasn't the school. They're not the decision maker in all this. Mobile County Public School System is, and they were the ones that gave them permission. And the biggest problem that I have with all of that is no explanation.
Yeah.
All these people waiting to see this game, anticipating this game, they don't put out a statement. Why did you give them that permission?
Yeah, when you have a PR team, and that PR team is known for not commenting on big stories that are going around the community, it makes you wonder, like, put out some kind of comment.
Right.
And we haven't gotten that. 8:48, another interview coming up. We're going to talk with members of the Dumas Wesley Community Center for an event they have coming up this week.
Yeah, this is something we've talked to them in the past about. That's a really good place. It does some really good work right there in Midtown and help out a lot of people. So we'll find out more on the way.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
If you open the door, maybe an old friend walks in. That's what's happened here this morning. It's 8:54 with Dan and Dalton on FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings. Jeff Poy Show on the way.
Yeah, he'll have State Representative Shane Stringer on. So WVNN's Dale Jackson in hour number two. And then, you asked. He delivered. Clyde Jones, the nominee for the Democrats in Congressional District 1, joins Jeff just after 11:30 this morning. But we have another great community program here we want to bring up, and we've talked with Joni Hendy here these last couple of years, but how about getting the executive director for Dumas Wesley Community Center in with us this morning, Kate Carver, to talk about the telethon you have coming up this week. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Kate, I knew you way back with the Salvation Army days. That's you were the right. PR
That's
person
right.
there.
That's right.
Major Waite was the
commander.
Many years ago was that?
Oh, my gosh. You're going to beat me. 20? It's probably 20.
Amazing.
We go way back, don't we?
So, yes. 15 years now with Dumas Wesley.
That's right.
Tell everybody all they do, and then we'll get around to the telethon.
Sure. So, in a nutshell, Dumas Wesley's been around for 123 years. Started as a daycare, and now today we have become this full-service community center that serves predominantly the working poor and the homeless. And so we have a dozen programs and services. We just expanded into Baldwin County now. And so, I mean, you name it, after school care, senior citizen program, food pantry, clothing closet, transitional housing, anything a person might need that's kind of living paycheck to paycheck.
Wow. And when you mention someone who's homeless, I think most listeners probably have an image that pops up in their mind of a homeless person. But as we were discussing during the break, I think people would kind of be shocked and definitely saddened by how many homeless children there are out there, in our area.
There are. Right. I was just sharing during the break that when we were asked to open a program, a transitional housing shelter in Baldwin County, the Baldwin County school system 3 years ago identified that there were 300 children in the school system identified as homeless. And of course, we know that that's an under-reporting of those numbers.
Yeah, under-identified for sure. They don't want to be... They don't want that stigma, right?
Right, correct.
So you guys do good work, but you need funds to do it. So let's talk about the telethon.
Yes, we're so excited. You know, the Mobile community has been so good to us, and WKRG is especially a great partner with us. This is our third year. Hmm. Last year, we raised a whopping $82,000 through the telethon.
In one day.
And so this is so important to what we do. We're a small but mighty group at Dumas Wesley. I want our folks that are listening to know we were founded locally. Money stays local. We're grassroots, you know, here in Mobile and Baldwin County. Every dollar counts. We've got about a $2 million budget. And so every dollar that we use stays local and helps serve the people here in the Mobile and Baldwin community.
Yeah, and you have your work cut out for you, as noted, here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And some of the great programs and services you have. You mentioned some of the day programs for senior citizens, but also meal delivery for homebound senior citizens, summer recreation for a lot of the children around here, which just wrapped up another term of that summer recreation. Yeah. So plenty of reason for people to donate: food pantries, clothing closets, legal aid services. How will they get this done? So once the telethon begins on Wednesday, I know KRG will have phone numbers and text numbers and things, and we'll pass those along as well, but people can also donate at DumasWesley.org, is that right?
That's right, that's right. Whatever's easiest. We've had, over the years, people have donated online. We'll take calls, texting. We've even had people, old-fashioned way, come in with a check, we'll take it. It all deposits the same, and we'll make good use of those dollars for sure.
Yeah, you have so many different programs. Your outreach is pretty incredible. And I guess because it is such a Mobile staple, like, even though I didn't know exactly what Dumas Wesley was, Dalton, I'm like, it's a Mobile thing. I know that. And it's located kind of not far from UMS, right?
That's right.
Right in the Creighton area.
That's right.
So it's, and it was for good reason back in the day.
Right.
It was amazing the way it started.
Yes, we started, a group of Methodist women came together and saw that there was a need for childcare services among the men and women who were working in the cotton mills. And here we are 123 years later, a dozen programs, two counties, making those dollars stretch and really helping Mobilians.
Well, thank you for the hard, great work you put in and your team there at Dumas Wesley. You have quite the team. So Wednesday is that telethon, WKRG. We'll put the numbers and let you know Wednesday again. You can donate at DumasWesley.org. But reminder, too, Regions Bank matching every donation made, dollar for dollar, up to $25,000. So good reason for you to donate this Wednesday. Kate Carver, Executive Director with Dumas Wesley, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. Good to see y'all.
Good to see you, Kate.
Is your wife hot? Nothing can make your life more miserable than a hot wife. ProTent can help with a quality tent job. Don't let her drive around all summer all hot and bothered. Do the right thing. Upgrade to a quality tent installed by the professionals at ProTent Window Tinting. It's necessary for your peace of mind. Cause if mama ain't happy, no one's happy. Make an appointment with ProTent today. Call 802-1234. And with ProTent's lifetime warranty, you're ensuring she's happy for years to come. Call 802-1234.
The Mobile County Sheriff's Office wants you to know how to safely and legally operate an ATV. Remember, these vehicles are not designed for use on paved surfaces, and it's illegal to do so. Always wear a helmet, never drive under the influence, and never let children operate an ATV. Your ATV dealer can provide training for your specific model or can direct you to the proper source. Call the Mobile County Sheriff's Office at 574-8633 for more safety tips or visit online at mobilecountyso.com.